Hey everybody, Shane Presley here with the Rock Paper Podcast. Very excited to welcome Music Record Shop on sponsoring this episode. Music Record Shop is a premier record store featuring the largest selection of new vinyl in the St. Louis area, as well as new cassettes, CDs, and used vinyl. They offer hard-to-find titles from your favorite local St. Louis acts, as well as world-renowned bands. Official store hours are Tuesday through Thursday, 2 p.m. to 8 p.m. or later. Located in the heart of the Grove at 4191 Manchester Avenue, right in between the demo and the ready room. Find them online at musicrecordshop.com, on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. Tell them the Rock Paper Podcast sent you. Are you and your friends trying to figure out what to do tonight? Hit up do314.com, the best place to find out about all the concerts and comedy shows and art openings and other cool stuff going on around St. Louis every night of the week. They're also giving away tickets to shows and festivals all the time. Go follow them on Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram at do314. Take it from me, I'm always trying to find shows, and this is where I go, do314.com.
Hey, this is Joshua from Joshua Powell and the Great Train Robbery, and you're being indubitably blessed by the Rock Paper Podcast.
Rock Paper Podcast. Rock Paper Podcast. Rock, 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 rock Paper Podcast, y'all.
Hey, what's going on, everybody? Shane Presley with the Rock Paper Podcast. Sitting down with my new friend here, Joshua Powell. Joshua Powell and the Great Train Robbery.
Yeah, that's right.
Is his band. So.
Mouthful. Never fits on a marquee either.
Right, yeah, that's a big one to put on. I guess they just abbreviated it.
They usually will do Joshua Powell and GTR.
Yeah.
But we've gotten everything from, like, Jake Powell and the Great Train Wreck to just right. Josh Powell Band.
Yeah.
That's the most wrong I've ever seen it.
Yeah. That's funny.
We were just out, though. I was opening for the Manish Brothers this week and on the road, and the first bar where we arrived, I was billed as Joseph Powell, and they were billed as the Madness Brothers. So that was also particularly in air.
Right. The Madness Brothers.
Yeah, it's pretty funny.
This is pretty cool, man. Like, I'm, I just became friends with the Madness Brothers a bit ago and had them on the show, and then they hit the road, and then I get a message that they're talking about the show with you, and you were coming through town, and
yeah.
So it's cool to see the networking is already paying off and everything, and
yeah.
I'm super excited to get to know you a little bit, man.
Yes, man. Likewise.
So, tell me a little bit about yourself. Where you grew up and stuff like that.
Sure. I'm originally from South Florida. I grew up in Vero Beach, Florida, which is like halfway down the East Coast. I lived there until I was about 17. I went to college in Anderson, Indiana, and studied music business, and eventually got around to starting this band, and we signed to our little college label at the genesis of the project, and that didn't pan out really the way we'd hoped, and so we kept trucking, and when I graduated from college, I started touring full-time, and, like, no address full-time, like, mm-hmm. straight up living in the van,
yeah.
Played, like, somewhere in the neighborhood of, like, 400 shows in a year and a half,
mm-hmm.
and then just moved back to Anderson in August of last year to focus on tightening sort of our regional focus to be...
Okay.
More specifically, a Midwestern band, and especially for Indianapolis, which is sort of the new home.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Very cool. How would you describe the band? I mean, like the sort of
genre tags.
Yeah, I hate defining by genre, but like just
the recommended, if
yeah.
you like.
Because I don't. I don't know. So many people cross. Genre somewhat. I mean, and people, and sometimes when you say something, like it kind of can cut people off from something that, you know, it's like they already have some kind of preconceived...
About the constructs of the specific genre.
It's like, if you say folk, they're like, oh, well, I know what folk is. I don't want to hear that.
Right.
Or what, but it's...
Yeah, we started off by saying we were like a folk band, and that was pretty much a straight-up answer.
Yeah.
And then people would always say, like Mumford & Sons?
Oh,
like,
right.
No.
Yeah.
And that was like the go-to, like Mumford & Sons? And just so we don't actually... Everyone that knows me well is always like, I know you hate Mumford & Sons. It's like, I don't, but I do hate being compared to them.
Sure.
Nothing like that. No, we have been sort of operating from that indie, folk indie Americana sort of overarching genre, and I'm not hesitant to be grouped into that category because I love so much of it.
Right.
But we also have a sort of a genre shift that's been happening over the last year while we've been working on our new record, because on our previous release, Man Is Born for Trouble is the name of that album, we were very strict about what we included on it as far as instrumentation and overarching stylistic homogeneity. We wanted to make sure this sounds just like folk to death, like banjos and mandolins everywhere and stuff, so that we were trying to convince everyone that, like, we know what kind of band we are. We don't need to, you know, we have like a solid self concept, you know, like we know who we are as band. And then after touring on that for a couple of years and making our new record and having garnered all these influences from all over the country, like geographically, but then also like just socially and culturally and even aesthetically, listening to all sorts of different music, whatever, I loosened up the filter a lot when we made our new record. There's a lot more electric guitars. There are no banjos on it. My singing style has evolved, and there's elements of more of like indie rock or like psychedelia, some stuff like that.
Very
so
cool.
It's a little bit more expansive, and I think a little less pigeonholed.
And that for me, that's what music's all about. I mean, it's constantly evolving, you know, and things. I mean, I think I'm not an artist at all, but just a big fan, but I know there are people out there, you know, like an example, like Dylan, you know, like Dylan, Dylan played acoustic for so long, and then like when he went electric, everybody's like,
people lost their minds.
Yeah. So it's that kind of thing. Like, people are used to hearing in one way, and then they don't always like the change, but,
exactly.
But for me, I love a band that can, you know, have maybe a softer record and a harder record and, like, you know, that kind of stuff goes and have some dynamic in their sound and things. I mean, as humans, we're constantly evolving. We have different personalities, you know, we have different moods and things. And
yeah, to remake the same record over and over again would be inauthentic because you're a different person each time you get to through that whole writing process. And when you look, you're right, like Dylan, like some of the greatest bands of all time, the Beatles and Neil Young.
Yeah.
Like, if you watch their trajectory, they start off one way and people love it, and then soon as they'll go like super far out in the left field, or even like Sufjan Stevens, you know, everyone know him for his like Baroque folk, like banjo laden stuff, and then he makes Age of Odds and it's all analog electronics and people are so bent out of shape about it.
Right.
But at the same time, it's like, you gotta respect those bands who are gonna go and be true to their impulses artistically and be open to not confining themselves to what's expected of them, rather than, you know, just following their individual muses and trying to have artistic integrity, you know.
Definitely. Had to get a drink. It's sitting outside of the Mass Brothers home, and it's a little warm out here, but it's a nice night. Well, man, you want to give us a song?
Sure, totally.
What are you thinking you want to play first?
I'll play the lead cut from our new record.
Okay.
It's called Gunfighter Ballad for the 21st Century. So I'll just play it if you want to talk about it.
Yeah, for sure.
Cool.
I saw you with the boys saw the crowded real estate beneath his denim, and I was in the right. So I rolled it in a bill and paid all the right people to plant a seed. I've got the coordinates, it's all they need. You are holding hands. The backroom wizards loaded more than six into my chamber. As you look me in the lens, you said, do what you have to do and do it quickly. Thought you clever, quote our Lord. But there is no Peter in the garden. Sword. Now I know what you are. Drawn on, drawn on, traveled far. Other bullets travel farther. Behind these walls of burnished pedigree, I'll never deny. No, already paid the fly with the tax dollars in my pocket. Honey, there is nothing you can do to stop it.
Killer guitar, man.
Thank you.
I like that. So what that was, that's going to be on the upcoming record?
That's right. Yeah, the record is called Alyosha, and it comes out in October.
Great.
Yeah.
So keep an eye out for that. And you got the Facebook, Twitter,
mm-hmm.
Instagram, and...
Yeah, everything is / Joshua Powell Music, like Facebook, right, and Instagram, and the website. Except for Twitter, it's JP and the GTR, because, again, our name is too long.
Right. Yeah, we had a similar, when we started this, the show, we're Rock Paper Podcast, but without the T on, as our handle.
Oh, yeah.
But, you know, obviously your name, you can put the whole thing, but it was just, so it was funny, because like, that was like a running thing for a while, like, every time Chris would plug it, you know, he would always be Rock Paper Podcast without the T. Yeah, so... And then I would always be like, I don't think you have to say that without the T. I think if you just search it, it'll find it. So
that's good.
But yeah, man, that sounded great, though. I really liked it. I was thinking, as you were playing, sort of resembling some stuff like, for me, it was like John Butler Trio. You know him?
Oh, yeah.
He's a big fan of
him. Phenomenally better guitar player than me.
I got some video. I saw him at the pageant a while back, and I got some video of him like doing this 12-string guitar solo mm-hmm. and by himself, and it was just a phenomenal
thing. Yeah, he's ludicrous.
But his band, they're really great. And anyway, just that a similar sort of a tone and everything.
The music part from this song came from a few months ago. I was friends with the band. I am friends with the band. They're no longer a band. They're called Bad Scout. They're out of Chattanooga. And I got to play their farewell show with them. Yeah. And I played, and then they played, and then they brought me up on stage, and we all did a super group version of Alabama by Neil Young, which is the most fun guitar riff ever. It's just like and I always love like how percussive his playing style was. It's almost like he's playing drums and guitars at the same time with that like slapping. So I thought, man, I'll try to write a song that has a guitar part that's like that.
Sure.
But on the record, it gets almost washed out by how many weird textural guitar sounds we put through, like, with the electric and with one guitar going through a Leslie cabinet and a bunch of weird stuff.
Yeah, I love when artists can do that, like, kind of, you know, I had a friend on the show, Cortland Zelli, and he does quite a bit of it. He plays more modern kind of rock, sort of Breaking Benjamin, you know, that kind of era, like rock and Sublime and all that kind of stuff. He likes a lot of that, and it's all influenced in his sound. But he does a lot of, like, using the body of the guitar for percussion and along with picking. And just, like, it. I don't know, I love when you can use the whole guitar as an instrument, you know, besides just the string. So
I've been trying to stretch myself that way just the last I've been out for a week now playing solo because the core of the band is for a couple years now it's just been my brother and me. My brother's Jacob, and he plays drums and sings, and we've had like 12 other people over the last 2 or 3 years who have been in the band in one form or another. It's just always the two of us and then, you know, whoever we can sling along. But we just did 6 weeks. Like, we went from Indianapolis out to Seattle, down to San Diego and back. And so I was just playing, like, the most rudimentary guitar playing that I've ever really had to, because we had all these other textures that were a part of the group and the ensemble. And that allowed me to, like, put a lot of my energy into sort of being an interesting visual performer. We were all dancing and stomping and like having a good rock and roll time. But since those guys all have other bands and jobs and school and stuff, I'm touring for the rest of the summer. And so I'm playing a kick drum with my right foot and a tambourine with my left foot and trying to make the guitar parts more interesting. And I've got like a hands-free harmonica holder. Yeah. So I'm trying to like fill out those sonic spaces, but at the same time, you want to strike the balance and not be shticky about it.
Oh, right.
You know, you don't want it to. I don't want the fact that like, oh look, he's multitasking to take away from people who actually want to engage with the song itself on like a narrative level.
Yeah, you saying all that reminded me, and he's been on the show and he's a good friend of mine now. But Lincoln Durham, you ever heard of him?
Mm-mm.
He's out of Texas area, but he plays a lot like that. Like, he plays the drums with his feet, and he's got like a cymbal attached to it, and he has shakers, and wears a harmonica around his head, and then he plays a lot of guitar. He plays some acoustic and plays some real like gritty slide stuff on. He plays electric. He plays violin. He's got like a diddly bow kind of cigar box guitar.
Wow.
So he's got some a lot of instruments, and it's crazy. Like, you know, when he sets up on stage, he kind of just centers in the middle of it and pivots around, and he grabs from all of his goodies and and plays. But he plays like a real kind of there's definitely a lot of blues influence. Like Sun House, I know, is like he credits as a big inspiration to a lot of stuff, and like so there's a lot of real, like I said, gritty slide blues, and then he. And all the lyric content's like very dark and gothic. Like writes some really dark stuff. And we kind of talked about how it's therapies for him, you know, like to kind of get this stuff out of his head. And,
yeah.
But he, he's got one of my favorites that he does is a Ballad of the Prodigal Son. And it's usually opens his show with it, and it's definitely an attention getter because he comes out with like I don't know what the stick is, but he's got a stick and like a Samsonite suitcase, and he's had a couple of them because he's beat a hole through them, but he comes out and boom, and just like keeps slamming this suitcase, and it's kind of like a slave hymn kind of thing, kind of rhythm to it. That
totally.
You know, like, and then, like, but it just keeps like building and beating on that suitcase, and it's just a really cool thing. And
interesting, I've looked that guy up. Huh?
Yeah, and it's like one of those, like, especially if you walks into a bar. I mean, people usually, you know, buy the tickets to come see him, but like, people will be hanging around talking. He doesn't come out and say, "Hey, this is I'm Lincoln Durham." Or
he just starts with that.
Yeah, he starts with beating on that suitcase, and everybody turns around. What the hell is going on? That's, you know, so
yeah.
But no, I mean, I get what you're saying, though. I mean, he kind of runs into that too, where it's like you want to be taken seriously, even though you're doing this stuff.
Right.
Like, it's not a gimmick or a shtick or anything. It's
I'm not doing it to impress people with, you know, the autonomy of my limbs. I'm just trying to recreate the sounds closer to how they were recorded the first time. You know?
Yeah, and I think he, with his stuff, he writes on his, like, case, like, or something, you know, whatever it was, but, like, does not play well with others or something like that, you know, like, so that was kind of his thing. Like, it wasn't that he doesn't, I mean, in studio he does it with other people, but, like, when he goes out, it's hard to tour with, you know, it gets expensive trying to tour with a band and stuff, so.
Without a doubt. Every other person in your van is less money for you, man.
So, it became touring out of a necessity, touring by himself like that.
Yeah.
It's just him and his wife, and she's his tour manager. So.
That's pretty awesome.
Yeah. But yeah, man, yeah, definitely check out Lincoln Durham. He's one of my favorites.
Durham with an H?
Yeah.
Cool.
Yeah.
Awesome.
But yeah, with the record, you recorded that in Indiana area or something? Or?
Yeah, there's a sort of a startup recording studio in Anderson, which is the suburb where I live. It's called Varsity Recording Company, and it's a guy named Jonathan Klass from Anderson, and then or from Speedway originally, and then Alex Daubert, who was sort of on a similar recording trajectory, but over at Ball State, which is a college 30 minutes from the one that we all went to, and they heard of each other, and they met at an awkward baseball game, and they started this this company together. And they've now taken over this like the sixth floor of this really cool old building in downtown Anderson. And because I worked with Jonathan to make our previous records too, but we were always making them in his crappy college apartments.
Right.
Like, we recorded most of "Man Is Born for Trouble." Like, when I was tracking the guitars, I was literally in a basement where there's like standing water and like I'm ducking under spider webs and stuff. And like, he's up in his bedroom. We've got a snake run. So it was really awesome. Because even though we've made like, we have two other full length records and two EPs, this is the first one that we've ever gotten to work in an actual studio where it's like there's a designated workspace and you don't have like roommates trudging through the house. And, you know, it is a very cool, focused environment, which allowed us to make the record, too, in more of a sort of hyper-focused, mad scientist way, where it's just Jonathan and me in the studio every day for, like, 2.5 weeks, rather than, like, when we were in college, it took us, like, 3 months to make a record, because it was like, hey, I got an hour this afternoon, you got an hour this afternoon?
All right.
So, yeah, but I definitely, Varsity Recording Studio is going to be big, man. They're doing great stuff.
Very cool. Yeah, I haven't been over to that way very much. There's a Terre Haute, Indiana is about the farthest been over that. I mean, that's not very far with it for
right. There's a club there called the Verve that we play sometimes.
That's where I've been. They've had I drove over there. It's like 3 hours from town, from St. Louis here.
That sounds about right.
Something like that from where I live, out a little outside of St. Louis here, But yeah, like we ran over there to see Patrick Sweeney play.
Oh, nice. Awesome.
And Patrick's a good friend of mine, too.
Very cool.
Are you familiar with him?
Yeah, I mean, I know of him because of the Man's Boys.
Yeah.
They're big fans of his.
Right, yeah, they did a little bit of touring stuff with him, playing a couple shows with him.
It's awesome. They did that Maiden Alley down in Paducah. They did a big show with Pat.
Yeah, that's what was funny about we. They told that story on the show about, you know, bringing Pat to Paducah, mm-hmm. and they kind of were saying how there's not a whole lot else going on in Paducah, but I thought it was funny because I, like a week or two later or something, whatever it was, I'm scrolling through Facebook and I see Patrick's tour dates, and his first tour date on his summer tour that he's going on is in Paducah. So I thought that was cool that he's, you know, that now it's a regular stop for him and things. But yeah, we went over there and I saw him in the Verve with like maybe eight people or something like that.
Yeah.
And it was just one of the coolest nights of my life, man.
That's awesome.
He's incredible. And especially the Verve's like a cool little dive bar kind of thing.
Yeah.
So it was a really neat experience. But
you got to make it out to Indianapolis for some shows now or something, because that's I'm trying to get the Manish Boys to come out there right now, but so we can return the favor for them always graciously hosting us here in St. Louis.
Yeah.
But man, Indy's such a great city. It's almost unrecognizable from like 5 years ago.
Sure.
Because there weren't good things to do 5 years ago, but like this last year alone, I think there were like 13 new microbreweries that came to town.
Oh, okay.
It was listed on a couple online lists of like the most affordable city in which to live when you're in your 20s. And so there's this cool like mass migration of hipsters into the Fountain Square and like broad Ripple districts, and you know, for how annoying that might be, it does result in like awesome organic restaurants and all these new there's like beer culture that's, you know, all the rage, and got a couple new venues and just a lot of cool, all these things that are feeding into the artistic community and all these
definitely.
You know, various outcroppings, however that might be expressed.
Right.
But it's an exciting time to live there.
Yeah. Yeah, St. Louis is a lot happening like that. Like, we have Cherokee Street, which is kind of our arts community down there.
Yep.
So it's fun to see it's constantly growing and evolving and, you know, and people making art in all various forms. And,
yeah.
So it's it's a neat time to be involved in all that in the city. And
the Cherokee Street scene is awesome, man. We played over at Livery Co. a couple times,
right?
And then we just did the Whiskey Fest, like hog roast and fundraiser show over at Off Broadway.
Yeah,
and Off Broadway is
great club,
amazing venue.
Yeah, one of my favorite spots in town, man. I'm down there quite a bit and.
Yeah. Gosh, they're bringing such great people, man.
Yeah.
When I was there, there were about three flyers, so I was like, wish I was in town to see these cats.
Sure, yeah, that's exactly it. John Henry is a good friend of mine, and I was just on the recorded. It'll be coming up soon, but we talked about the Open Highway Music Festival, and they got like Ryan Bingham, Jay Farrar. Ha Ha Tonka, and great lineup of, and they're like, it's all one weekend, and it's like, it's going to be a good weekend to be down at Off-Broadway, so.
That's awesome.
Yeah. Yeah, I've never seen Bingham. I'm a big fan of his stuff, and.
I'm not familiar.
Yeah. He did that, what was, Jeff Bridges movie, Crazy Heart.
Oh yeah, country one.
Yeah, he did a lot of the music for that. Like wrote a lot of the songs that were featured in that movie on the soundtrack. So
I have not seen that yet.
Yeah, I haven't watched it either. But I got the soundtrack. I found it online. And but yeah, he's a great songwriter. And you know, a lot of times he deals with his band. But this show obviously will be more of a solo acoustic kind of thing, but it should be interesting.
Cool, man. Yeah. That's it off Broadway.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
But yeah, you want to play another one?
Sure, yeah.
You got another one from the new one, or you got an older one you want to play? Or?
Oh, man, what do you prefer? I got a bunch.
Oh, well, it's all new to me, so I'm excited. I want to hear hear some more stuff, man.
Cool. This is sort of one of I would balk to call it a fan favorite or like a hit, because we don't have that many fans, and we definitely don't have a hit. But this is one of the songs that everybody always like wants to hear live.
Okay.
So it's from our last EP. That was called The Commonwealth. The song's called Principles of Salt.
I packed my dusty old guitar, canceled all my credit cards. I had to roll and change my name. I think I missed the rapture, or somebody's snatcher is taking me out of the frame. 'Cause I'm too stressed, I'm repressed, saying all that's on my mind. But you let me, you get me, oh, let's just leave it all behind. Well, life is one big cover-up, America has given up, overdosed on Adderall. I'm on a quest for common sense, you can keep your doesn't interest me at all. Well, I'm too stressed, I'm repressed, saying all that's on my mind. But you let me in, you get me, oh, let's just leave it all behind. It ain't a crime, but I'll take my chances with you. Anytime. Well, I'm too stressed, I'm repressed for saying all that's on my mind. Let's just leave it all behind. Well, I'm too stressed, I'm repressed, saying all that's on my mind. But you let me in, you get me. No, you don't. Never mind.
Yeah, I'm great.
Thanks, dude.
Yeah. What kind of led you into writing that?
Man, my senior year of college, you know, everyone asks you the same question, of course, right. Like, yeah, what's next? What's next?
Sure.
And so I was at this, and then, you know, I graduated in 2013, which it feels like a lot longer ago than that. But I was at this point where I was trying to figure out what I was going to do after that year, and, I'd been offered a pretty nice job, and I was thinking about not taking it because it seemed really boring. And it was a very impressionable era of my life when I was reading a lot. I was reading a lot of literature that was just helping me to think differently. When you're at this cusp and all of the responsible adults in your life are trying to give you direction on
right.
how to grow up properly. And I was reading Kerouac and, you know, the rascally irresponsibility of that. And I was reading Thoreau and sort of like the Zen sort of extra societal isolation of that. And all these guys who were just doing really interesting things that were worth telling stories about.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, man, I got really abrasive for a short while, where I would you know, take a crap on anybody who had like normal domesticated plans and be like, oh, that's so, you can live for so much more than that, you can tell such
Definitely.
Better stories. And then my mom at one point was like, dude, you're you're being a real butthole to people. I was like, I just want them to live better lives. And she's like, yeah, but just, like, be gentler about it.
Yeah.
So I wrote that song as sort of, like, I was at a point where I was disgusted with, like, what modern America glorifies and sort of the materialist bend of of so much. And I just wrote that song because I thought, I want nothing to do with your settled down suburban domesticity, you know? So the ending of the song is kind of a joke that, I mean, it's like, I sometimes feel like the only person who thinks that way. Or at least I did when I was in a small Christian liberal arts college in, you know, the rural Midwest. You go out on the road and you meet all the people that think like you.
Sure.
Or think a lot crazier than
you.
Yeah,
meet
them too.
Yeah. I kind of went through a similar thing. My junior year of high school, I had a health class with who used to be the football coach named Scott Swafford, and he was my health teacher, like I said, and he also was partnered up with the FCA, the Fellowship of Christian Athletes program, and so he was, you know, he spiritual and stuff, but anyway, he would always say stuff like, him and his wife had this motto, like, live this five like your last five, and it was all, you know, living in the moment and stuff, and he used to say this stuff to us all the time, and, like, I remember it was like a Friday afternoon, and he comes in and he's telling us, you know, kind of live life, and, like, that, you know, hey, if somebody comes to you with Cardinals tickets or something, go to the game, have a good time. Like, you can turn in the homework later. Like, you know, just enjoy the moment, you know, because it's, you know, that's a rare kind of thing. And so he ended up having, like, a massive heart attack on, like, a Sunday afternoon and never came back. And,
wow.
You know, obviously really drove home the message that you never know when your time is up. And
man, that's
so powerful. It made a huge impact on my life. Obviously we were, you know, pretty close, and it meant a lot that to lose him, especially so suddenly. And but like I said, that message lives on, and I like to share the message myself, and people are always coming to me, and because, you know, I go out nearly every night of the week, going out to shows in various forms, and it was what makes me happy, and that's you know, life's too short to be, you know, kind of stuck in this, you know, world that we all think we're supposed to be in, you know, and like you said, the world you described, and you know, I like to you know, take every moment, you know, and go and run with it and have a good time, and not to worry about what might happen tomorrow or whatever.
Right,
so.
Right. That you said the your next five like it's your last five.
Live this five like your last five. That's what they always five and five. That's what they always say.
There's a Donald Miller thing where he says, like, if you could do the next 5 years over again, what would you do differently?
Yeah.
It's the same exact idea, but it's like 5 years down the road when you look back, what do you wish you would have done or accomplished, or and that. That was, I was reading at the same time, senior in college, and that, like, really catalyzed, like, hey, take this job or, you know, go travel the country for a couple of years. And
yeah.
I'm still trying to live into it. You know, it's easy to get complacent, and it's easy to fall into those rhythms of, like, well, I better make sure that I do enough work to have the rent money this month, you know, but.
Yeah. I mean, I work hard. I do try to make sure to pay the bills, but it's like, there's so much more that I want to, you know, I don't want to be stuck in the job. And
yeah.
I don't want, you know.
Totally, man.
I'm hoping that someday, I don't even know if it's going to be this podcast or what it's going to be, but I just hope for one, if there was was a Venn diagram or whatever, is that what it's called with the two circles?
Yeah, with the intersecting.
Yeah, so hopefully one day I'll be able to, you know, less work and more more into whatever the new project is.
Absolutely,
and,
man.
And hopefully, but yeah.
Where do you work currently?
I work for the school district. I do custodial work. And,
okay.
And that's it's you know it's the stability,
totally.
It's the you know insurance and benefits and pay and.
I worked at a coffee shop for 9 months.
Right. Yeah. It's so it's you know that stuff's fine, but I definitely you know I'm hoping you know I'm the hustle at night with the with the podcast and hope and all the networking and connections I'm making and I don't know where I really want to go with it, but I think it'd be a lot of fun to. Maybe have my own venue or something and like to start bring that was kind of the idea was like you know quit going to shows and start bringing shows to me kind of thing you know
totally.
So you know I meet guys like yourself and then you know that are touring and kind of give them a place to hit when they're every time they're in town and
gosh yeah man.
You know that kind of thing so
do you like a young Bob Boylan dude
oh yeah
do you know him
I don't think so.
He's the NPR guy who runs All Songs Considered, Tim and Robin Hood.
Okay.
You ever listen to All Songs?
No.
Dude, great, great podcast.
Check it out.
It's just these two dudes, and they get like a million records submitted every week.
Wow.
And then they pick like their favorite stuff from either new cats that they've discovered or like, you know, premiere tracks from records that are coming out next month or whatever. And they'll just talk about them, and occasionally they'll bring somebody on to talk with them, but mostly they just like will play new cuts that you probably wouldn't hear anywhere else.
Yeah.
And then they do a series called Tiny Desk Concerts where they bring people into the NPR building and they set up in the office and like play a little live show.
I've seen the YouTube videos of Tiny Desk series, so
Bob Boylan's kind of the mad scientist behind all that.
Yeah, all right. We'll have to go do some homework and check them out.
Yeah, dude.
I love that. I mean, I've never been one for maybe when I was younger, but as more and more the addiction of music has grown it for me.
Yeah.
Like I'm not one for anything that's like really popular in a sense. I don't listen to anything really on radio. And a lot of the people I've discovered are like through that and you know online myself just digging around and and you find something great and but a lot of the music I'd listen to also and that's. Why it's been so much fun doing this show is all local. Like I love supporting my own local St. Louis artists and or regional artists and things that, and you know, it's just a lot of fun to go to a show and be able to have that interaction and that you know and you know to where you can hang out after the show and you know have a drink or whatever and hang out and talk instead of. You know, we got to get on this tour bus and we got to go, you know, do this and whatever. It's like, I just feel like, you know, it's sometimes it's cool to go to some of those bigger shows, but it's also a lot of fun to support more independent artists. And
yeah, man,
you feel like it goes a lot farther, I think. Like, I mean, just to where you can give them you can buy a CD and feel like you're really, it's definitely making an impact, you know?
It's like it's like patronage, man.
Yeah.
It's, the music industry is, I think, more so exponentially than any other line of work. It's just, it's so relational. Like it's such there's such a social element to it because something that the producer of our new record and I would always talk about was like, I really respect what you can do and what you can make and all this, but I really just like hanging out and like having a couple beers with you. Like this, we always have a great time.
Right.
And so it's like when we made this record, I didn't really want to go work with anybody else because I just know Jonathan's a good hang. And the guys who do session work and stuff, if they're abrasive, you know, they don't get asked to come back to gigs usually. It's like you got to be good at what you do, but you also have to be a decent person, you know?
Yeah.
That's cool because the longer you're ingrained in this scene, the more people that you get to meet. And it's like, dude, when I go on tour now, it is... We do try to be very business-oriented about it, but it's just like a tour of getting to go see our friends everywhere, you know?
Yeah. That's exactly what it is for me, too. It's, it's not like I tried to, like, ditch my friends. I still hang with a lot of the same people that I hang with in high school, but more and more so, most of my friends are artists and musicians, and it's just because I love hanging with them, and they're, you know, it's, but you know that's the thing. It's like it's just fun to hang out with your buddies when I go, and that's what pretty much the backbone of the show too is. Just it's easy to
it's awesome, man.
Sit and chat, but yeah, I mean, I definitely feel that though. Yeah, I don't know. You got one more you want to play? Or
sure, man.
What are you thinking?
do, I think. I don't know. It lends itself to an acoustic rendition, but I feel like playing it, so I'll play it for you. This is from the new record as well. It's a song called Birth Control.
All right.
And follow blindly. On the buckle of the Bible belt, with the two-bit axe in my pack, my baby boy on my track you on the mountain. It's not the first time we met. Light a fire, you said. Send your boy out to destroy the saplings, gathering sticks. I spit and I cuss, cause I have issues with trust. Might as well avoid the hellfire I can control, I told myself.
So that would you said that so have you ever done that acoustic thing?
I did it the other night in Wichita, but it was with my kick and tambourine and all that, and my reverb pedal, which I feel totally naked without it. But yeah, I probably haven't played the song like that since I wrote it.
Yeah, that was beautiful though, man. I really liked it.
Thanks.
I mean, especially for you know.
Yeah.
You not particularly playing it that way often. But,
yeah. I figured you know. If you always play the same couple of tunes, you know, when somebody has you just play one or two songs, I feel like you always want to play your best or your most accessible or whatever, but
you've made me to feel right at home. So I figured I'd try something different. It was fun.
Yeah, man. I really liked it. That was great.
Thank you.
And that's on the new record you said, too?
Yes, on Alyosha. The song's called Birth Control.
So October.
Yep.
Yeah, I did one. I got a buddy, Zach Michael. He's down in Nashville right now, living down there doing singer-songwriter stuff, trying to... He's got a great team of people that he works with, and they've been writing stuff, and he's got a song called Numb. It's kind of reminds me sort of like a Jeff Buckley kind of thing on the record, like that real, like, kind of tuned-down electric guitar, kind of real mellow.
Sparse singer-songwriter.
Yeah. And he... So the song's called Numb on the record, and it's one of my favorites. And I asked him to play it when we did the podcast, and he played it on acoustic, which, you know, it's done on electric.
Right, right.
And that was the first time he did it. Was acoustic was on the show, and it was fantastic. But it was just, and funny, we actually recorded it at my work in the school cafeteria. So
nice.
Like it had a nice like natural echo to it.
Yeah.
And, so it sounded really great, but.
That's awesome.
But yeah, I think that's really what's cool about doing podcasts and in this kind of setting where it doesn't always have to be perfect or sound like the record or
right.
any of that stuff. It's fun to kind of have more original and alternative takes or whatever and that kind of various things.
Yeah, man. I think that's why like so many of the podcasts that are popular because if you are even minutely interested in what the people are talking about or even if you just like one of the people that's on the show, it's just like, man, you get to sit in the living room with them, you know? It's like
right.
you're, because it's so informal, it's sort of an intimate experience to hear and to engage.
People are probably sick of anybody that's listened to a couple of these, but I listen to a lot of Howard Stern, and I talk about it a lot because he means a lot to me. I'm a big fan, and but I'm not trying to be him, but he's definitely
right.
an influence, like, and the fact that, like, I feel like some of his interviews, that's exactly how I feel. Like, I feel like I'm kind of a fly on the wall in this conversation between him and Robin and Fred and stuff, or the guests that he has on. And
you get a little bit more social grace than Howard Stern does.
Well, yeah, but this is, like, the conversation, though. Like,
yeah.
It doesn't feel like he's doing a radio show.
Just
you know?
Relaxed.
Yeah, it's very casual. And, you know, you talked, and for me, like, not that I've ever met him or anything, but it's like, if I met him, I feel like I would know him, and I know Robin, and think, like, we're old friends, you know, it's just kind of, like, that vibe to it, and,
yeah.
So I try to kind of, I mean, like I said, I'm not trying to be Howard at all, but, like, just, like, that similar kind of a broadcasting
totally.
Thing, where just, I want it to be a super casual kind of conversation where people can feel like they were just hanging out with two buddies and stuff, but so hopefully that comes across. That's I've been having a lot of fun doing this show, meeting guys like yourself and the Manus brothers and
yeah.
everybody else. Like it's been a lot of fun, man. It's cool.
That's awesome. It is fun too, just to figure out where those points of contact begin.
Like, yeah.
Just tracing it back and being like, we would have never had this show if like you and me together right now, if I hadn't met the Manus brothers. I would never met the Manus brothers if I hadn't been double booked at this club in Iowa. And it's just, you know, but the network keeps growing.
The stars have aligned.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah, man.
Yeah. That's a lot of what keeps this show going is people like that, you know.
And how many episodes have you done now? It's like... It's over 100, isn't it?
No, I'm not quite there. I think I've got like 96 Woo. Recorded. So
nice.
I'll be August. I'll definitely hit 100. So
that's awesome. You gotta get like a big guest for episode 100.
Yeah, people. I mean, I kind of put it out there, like some feelers, trying to see what people think and what they might want to hear, and a lot of different response. And I still don't know what I'm gonna do. I don't know. I might do something crazy. I might do something just super, you know, relaxed and
totally.
So I don't know. It's pretty exciting to be nearing a milestone like that. I mean, we hit 50. Yeah, we hit 50, and we were like, "Yeah, we did it." We, you know, it's like, and now we're at 100 already, and
that's awesome. So, congrats,
yeah,
man!
Just a little over a year or two, and so yeah, we've been, you know, me and Chris, we did a lot of stuff together to start the show, and then things were good, and then Chris stepped down, and since then I've just been, you know, I've been it opened up my recording a whole lot, being that it was just me and then mm-hmm. my, so
yeah,
so then I just started recording with everybody, man. I'm just like, and that's kind of the whole thing with our podcast too, the fact that like we're not listening to it live, I can put it up on iTunes and the website and stuff, and it's just having this content there and people can listen at their convenience, and
yeah,
so these episodes can live on forever,
right.
And so more or less I'm just trying to crank out as much content and get as many people to see the name and
right.
and expose as many artists as I can. And
so that's sort of a two-edged sword too, because it's like, oh, now this thing can this will live forever and you can always go and interact with it again or whatever, bring it back up, and it's like, oh my gosh, I really hope I don't see anything stupid. Because it's not just like one time, if you missed it on the radio, you'll hear it again.
Sure.
It's like, I said something dumb and it's going to be immortalized.
Right. Yeah. That happened. I mean, I say a lot on this show. I forget sometimes that the mic's on and you just get to talking, and then but luckily, like, I mean, I don't know. I don't feel like I ever said anything too bad, but it's one of those things like, I probably shouldn't have said that or whatever it is. And it's just,
I feel like that happens to me like every night that I talk between songs.
Right. Well, see, like, I've still got, you know, bosses and stuff, and like all, and coworkers and my grandmother and stuff that they all like. I put it all on Facebook so anybody can listen to this. And
believe me, I'm fully aware of.
So,
my mom is on Facebook every single day. All the people that go to my parents' church,
right.
So it's like, man, I get to practice integrity and try to be the same everywhere.
Yeah, but in the same sense, it's like, this is who I am, and you know, if you don't like it,
there's a big element of that on our new record. Mm-hmm. I did some stuff, and I was really just, all I try to do is make a record that I'm really proud of, that I really like.
Definitely.
And some people are going to bristle against that, but it's like, the people that are really making meaningful stuff out there, I think they're not worried about what people are going to think about it.
Yeah, that's the biggest, man. Just stay true to yourself, and people are going to respond. You know, either you're gonna get the people that like it, and you're gonna get the people that don't. But you know, it's like, if this is, the people that like it are gonna believe it, and then they're gonna respond to it.
If your conscience is clear for the stuff that you're making,
right.
And if you're, feel that you created to the best of your, best of your ability, what more can you really do with art?
Right. Yeah, man. Well, I guess we'll look to wrap this thing up and go make it out to the Menace Brothers show.
Yeah, man.
Go, but man, hey, this has been great, Josh.
Yeah, thanks so much for the opportunity, brother. It's great.
Thanks for hanging out. Thanks for reaching out, and thank you to the Menace Brothers for making it all possible.
A good band friend.
Yeah.
Good friends in general.
Yeah. And so, again, what's JoshuaPowellMusic.com.
Mm-hmm.
And Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, all those you can find them on.
Sure enough.
And keep an eye out for a new record in October.
That's right.
So thanks again. And
thank you, Shane.
We will, hopefully I'll see you again soon.
Definitely.
All right. That's it. That's a wrap. It's not
it's not all bad. Mountains in the sea to watch the ripple moon. We disregard the sinking sounds anymore. Pretty little wild creatures who we are.